I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today from Pretoria in South Africa is Miss Mignon Dupree, who is the current Proteas captain of South Africa's ladies cricket team. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
When did you first become interested in cricket?
I started actually playing cricket at a very young age of 4 years old. My dad was my brother's under seven mini cricket team's coach, and I always just went with and watched my brother play. But when I attended the games, I always made sure that I was in the right attire. So I had the little white shorts and a white T-shirt on. And one day, one of the boys didn't make it in time, and my dad actually asked me to fill the spot. And at the end of the day, I was the best player for the day, and I think that's when I started for the game.
So it was part of the influence from your dad, your brother, and peers, and getting involved into the sport.
Yes, definitely, all of them. If it wasn't for them, I would definitely not be where I am today.
And what are we? That's probably about 25 years ago.
I turned 27 recently,
okay.
So 23 years ago.
And can you tell us who your favourite sports heroes are?
I think on the cricket side of things, Sachin Tendulkar. I mean, he's just one of the cricket legends, but what really stood out for me was he always had a type of presence when he walked to the crease. And even though he was an amazing cricketer, he always stayed humbled and he never got too big for the game. Then another one, I think, is A.B. de Villiers. We all know him currently, I think, as a superhero. He just simply makes batting look easy. But what I admire most about him is just how he enjoys the game of cricket and how you can see the passion he has for the game. And then lastly, I've got Charlotte Edwards, who's a women's cricket legend. And she was really crucial to help professionalize women's sport or women's cricket globally. So those are the three that I would like to mention today.
It's a great mix, so looking at it on the international scale and also between South Africa and having men as well as women within your heroes space. Can you tell us about one of your most memorable games?
If I think of one quickly, one of my most memorable games definitely has to be the 2014 ICC T20 World Cup when we played against New Zealand in the final group game. It was actually like a quarter final because we had to win that game to ensure a place in the semi-finals. But up until that stage, we've never beaten New Zealand in the T20 format before. So it was a very, very crucial game. The night before the game, we actually walked into the hotel, and when we got to the lobby, we saw that the New Zealand girls had their bags packed and they were ready to go all the way through to the semi-final. And I think that actually just got under the skin of our girls, and we thought, and you know, we decided that we're definitely going to rock up the next day and give and make sure we're going to put up a fight. And at the end of the day, we came out on top and we won the game, which was the first time ever, and that also meant we secured a place in the semi-final. And so that was really something special. To top it off, I was player of the match. I scored a 50, and that was really just one of those memorable games that I cherish for a lifetime.
It sounds like a fantastic memory and a very special moment to celebrate and continue to recap. You've just shared with us one of your most memorable games. Can you please tell us what would you say has been your proudest moment on the pitch?
Wow, that's all a difficult one, but I think the one that really stood out for me was captaining my first ever test match and then also scoring my maiden 100 in my first test match in India. I definitely think that was one of the proudest moments I've had in my career so far.
And you've just mentioned in terms of captaining the team, and I think that being a captain holds a tremendous role of responsibility. Can you tell us a little bit about your duties, what that entails? Because it's not just about being there representing the team, but it's building the morale, making sure that the team all comes together.
Yes, I think for me personally as a leader, I always try to be there serve others and not wanting to be served. I think one of my key areas was to try and lead by example. So through my value systems and I always wanted to be an example on and off the field. But some of the responsibilities, obviously, on the field is you have to make the crucial decisions when you're out in the middle and who's going to bowl the final over and sitting with the coach, making some, coming up with game plans and strategies and analyzing the opposition to make sure that you're one step ahead. And media responsibility. So there's quite a few things to keep you busy. That's not always just on the field, but I think most of it actually happens before you step out onto the park.
And you mentioned aspects of your value system. Can you tell us a little bit about what that entails?
For me personally, I'm a Christian. And just the way I've been brought up, I think for me it's always just to show some of the fruits of the spirit, to be kind to others and doing things, always being willing to go the extra mile and being hardworking and committed and being honest, so value systems, and respecting the opposition, the game play, and our management staff and our fans and supporters.
And it must be quite challenging trying to respect the opposition when you're in a competitive game, because you're out there to compete, and second place, no one wants to hold second place.
Yes, definitely, but I think there's at least that, as the saying goes, cricket is a gentleman's game, so we do try and keep it as clean as possible. And then from my side, I just feel like good sportsmanship is also one of the areas I like to pride myself in, and I think there's definitely room to be fearless and aggressive on the field, but still being a nice person after all.
I agree with you. Those are the attributes which come through, and they all build and contribute to the team spirit. And now, in terms of representing South Africa on the international circuit, you've mentioned Bangladesh, you've mentioned India. How do you feel representing our country?
It's an amazing honor. It's actually really hard to put it into words. It's one of those things that you dream about since you go when I started playing cricket at the age of 4. It was always a goal to one day play for my country, and now I'm actually captain of the country. So it's really something special and something I'll treasure for the rest of my life.
And I'm sure that playing the game has taken you across the globe. How have you found that almost as an added benefit on being able to experience different cultures?
It's amazing. I think I love being around people and meeting new people. Cricket really gave me that opportunity to travel, and also to sometimes give you perspective on life. I think when you go to countries that's not as fortunate as we are, you just tend to realize that the little things we sometimes take for granted, other people pray for, and that was really something that stood out. I mean, something as simple as we can open the tap and drink water, but when you go to India, there's not even running water. We have, you have to wash or brush your teeth with bottled water to be safe. So I think that is sometimes the little things that just make me just to be thankful for what we actually have and to just see how fortunate we really are.
That's an insightful view on looking at those factors that we appreciate what we have and try not to take them for granted.
Yeah, definitely.
Today we're talking to Mignon Dupree, who is the captain of the South Africa Ladies National Cricket Team, the Proteas.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 802. Today we're talking to Mignon Dupree, who is the captain of the South African Ladies National Cricket Team, the Proteas. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous section of our discussion, Mignon shared with us how she came into being interested in cricket at a tender age of 4 years old, taking us through some of her legends and sports heroes, as well as her memorable games and proudest moments on the pitch. I recently came across a quote from an American basketball player called Gabby Williams, and she said, "We make it look easy on the court because we practice until we cannot get it wrong anymore." What do you think about that statement?
I actually really agree with her. I think it's the unseen hours in training and supervisors behind the scenes that really allows us to achieve success on that stage. So for me, I also agree completely. I think preparation is everything. You have to practice like you want to play one day. So it all boils down to that unseen hours in the track that you have to do when nobody's watching.
And when you're talking about the practicing component, can you tell us how much of your time is spent training and practicing?
I think a typical day for me, it depends on the program for the day, but it can be anything between 3 to 5 hours for the day. Basically, what a day would consist of is I'm a batting team, so I have to do some batting skills and working on one-on-ones that would be from technique specific to match specific. Then I try and 2 to 3 times do some visual skills and that is a lot of hand-eye coordination and that helps me with fielding. And then we've got the fitness component, which is one of the crucial parts of our game. We currently have a program where we do 2 sessions a day, which one would be gym-related and then the other one would be some sort of conditioning, working on some speed, agility, and just making sure that we're ready when the tour comes. So that is what a typical day consists.
And with that, that's a lot about the physical preparation. Is there also an element of mental preparation?
Definitely. I think actually where we're at the moment, skills can only get you that far. At an international stage where you play, mental prep is extremely important. And just to find ways that works for you. I don't think it's the same for every individual. Some people like to visualize and do things before the time, but you have to definitely be mentally strong to compete at international level.
And what would you say at the international level are the one or two things that differentiates you from your competitors?
One, we discussed it slightly earlier. I think it's my value system. And then secondly, I think I'm an honors graduate. I studied marketing at the University of Pretoria. And so I have a degree behind my name as well. So I'm not just a cricketer. I've got something to fall back on one day when my body won't allow me to play cricket anymore.
So you've spoken about yourself as an individual on what distinguishes you. From a team point of view, as South Africans, as a competitor, say, for instance, competing against the New Zealanders, what would you say are the South African strengths, the differentiators?
I think one of our biggest ones is the diversity we have in the team. We're very fortunate to have people from all spheres of life, different cultures. I think we've got whites, we've got blacks, we've got colored girls, we've got Indians, we've got literally the whole Rainbow Nation. And I do think that's really something special. Not a lot of countries has that. And that is definitely one of our strengths. And also just to show how, as others, come together for one unified goal, and that is to represent our country and to hopefully win that World Cup, to be history makers in South Africa.
And with a team, it means that we, and a national team in particular, it means that people are not necessarily all in one place. The reality is they live across different countries and they're quite scattered geographically. How do you galvanize and bring everyone together? Is it through camps so that you can contain that team spirit, enthuse and support a team?
Yes, I think firstly camp is a place for part of us, and usually we try and get together once a month or at least once every second month, and then before we go on tour we'll have a longer camp where we spend a lot of time together training. But we've been very fortunate that over the past 3 years in the off-season, we had a national academy in Pretoria where we had the opportunity to spend about 6 weeks together and then break for 2 weeks and come back and spend another 4 or 5 weeks together. That has helped, and we've seen how much it has changed women's cricket in South Africa and how we now compete at international level.
And I think another difference, the South African men's team is a professional team, whereas the South African women's team is not a professional team. It's amateur, so you're not paid, are you?
over the past 3 years, we actually got a sponsor on board, Momentum. So for the past 3 years, we have been contacted. We're very fortunate to have 14 girls contacted. And there's three levels of contact. There's contact A, B, and C. And so I won't say we're fully professional yet. We're definitely getting there. And for one, it is also something that you can hopefully in the near future do as a career option. We definitely work towards that and making women's cricket fully professional in South Africa. But very fortunate, seeing women's cricket, it's definitely heading in the right direction.
So having a sponsor that's dedicated, and I mean, we see it, we've got Momentum in terms of the ladies' Proteas. We've got Sasol with regards to Banyana Banyana, our ladies' national soccer team. Having a corporate sponsor who's there for the long haul is a big contributor to success for the teams.
Yes, definitely. It opened up doors and playing opportunities, the better you get. So I do think it's been a major factor in the success of the women's cricket team recently.
Now, when we hear about successful people, sportswomen like yourself, there's often a tendency to think that the achievements that they've occurred have taken place overnight. But in reality, we're really witnessing the end result of years of hard work and disciplined dedication, which you've invested into your chosen path. And additionally, behind the scenes, there's usually a tremendous support structure which backs the individual. Can you give us your opinion on the role of support systems to contribute to success?
I definitely think the support structure is any sports person's success. I've been very fortunate to have a very strong support structure. I've got my husband, Tony, and then my parents, my mom and dad, brothers, sisters, grandparents, everybody that's always there for me. And I really think it's absolutely amazing to have people to share your successes with. But unfortunately, in most sports people's careers, they have more failures than successes. And it's just nice to know that there is somebody there during those times to support you. But a support structure might mean different things to different people. For someone, it might be a family member, but to others, it might even be a coach or a teacher. And it's just, for me, I think they play a major role in our success.
I think you're absolutely right there. That's the mental support. It's the physical support, especially in those moments when you're feeling a little low, and it can almost be the igniter to give you that second breath to move on.
Yes, definitely. And it's always nice to know that there is people that no matter what you do, they're behind you all the way and they're looking for you. So that definitely helps, and it takes the pressure off us some slightly. So that's definitely really something special.
It cements that positivity. Now, we spoke briefly about trying to increase the status and elevate the status of women's sport and the role of corporate sponsorships. From a men's perspective, men's sport has really achieved iconic status the world over, whether that's in football, in basketball, in cricket. What do you think needs to be done to elevate the profile of women's sports?
I definitely think both the media coverage and securing sponsorships, they go hand in hand, and that's definitely what we need. I think as soon as there's more media coverage, sponsors would realize that they would get their return on the investment. And hopefully through getting that financial, almost like a financial incentive, it will help to create more playing opportunities and events where we might hopefully then see something like the women's IPL, for instance, in cricket. So I definitely think to elevate our sport, we just need the girls to be out there through media coverage and then hopefully more big sponsors on board.
And looking at things through media coverage perspective, and perhaps if I ask you to wear your marketing cap from UP, would you see this in terms of our traditional scope of media, so TV, radio, print broadcasts, or more of the direct comms via social media with individuals posting out and connecting with their fans?
I definitely think that it must be a little bit of everything. Social media is definitely at the moment trending and one of the bigger sources of the marketing side of things. But I do think actually playing on television so that the young girls could see what they can do is very important. And then the radio and newspapers, and all of them play such a big role, because there's always different people that you can impact with a different type of media. So I do think we need little bits of everything, and through all of that, hopefully getting women's sports the recognition it deserves.
Well, we hope that through our Channel Africa airwaves, we're spreading the word in terms of women's cricket a little bit more to help emphasize that point.
Thank you very much.
Today we're talking to Mignon Dupree, captain of the South African ladies national cricket team, the Proteas.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 802. Today we're talking to Mignon Dupree, who is the captain of the South African national ladies cricket team, the Proteas. In our previous segment, we spoke about some of the physical and mental endurance that one has to undertake in order to train and practice for the team. We also discussed the involvement of enablers, whether that's family, whether that's coaches, as support structures to aid and motivate. And we mentioned the role of corporate sponsorships in terms of being able to promote and support women's sport to elevate its status. Mignon, as an international sportswoman who's reached the top of her game, you're effectively a role model to many young women, not just the younger members on your team, but also to demonstrating to many women and girls in South Africa that through hard work and personal sacrifice, great things can be achieved. Can you tell us a little bit about your role within the role modeling capacity?
I think it's an enormous responsibility, but I really feel honored. I feel we have an opportunity to influence young girls and to encourage them that they can also reach their dreams. So we can give them hope, and that's really something special. And I hope that the girls looking up to us can really see that we are trying to break through barriers and to leave a legacy that they one day can become and do what they dream of doing.
Now, our program, Womanity, Women in Unity, is all about gender equality, which is increasingly a global focus. And as such, building female leadership capacity is important for the future of women, both in South Africa, as well as the rest of the continent and across the world. How do you see female leadership in South Africa?
I think ever since gender equality started growing, we definitely started to see a lot more female leadership of life. But I think for us, the most important thing that we need to do is to learn to trust women in their decision-making. Women leadership is about bringing their nature and strength to any environment, and we have to encourage the differences instead of asking women to try and be like men in their leadership style.
And I think that's a very important point, and we are, rightly so, we're made differently. We have different views, and that also speaks to the factors you were talking about, the diversity in terms of how your team's constructed, and to have those multiple viewpoints. How do you think we can build on this capability?
I think some of the areas, maybe to start more leadership workshops, identifying young leaders from the school maybe already, and to actually give them, to equip them to become better leaders, and maybe through internship opportunities, some companies through their corporate social responsibility, getting young girls involved and giving them an opportunity to see what it is like in the real or the big world, the business world out there.
And in terms of words of advice or encouragement, what would you say to young aspiring athletes?
I think for me, it's, if your dream does not scare you, I don't think it's big enough. And make sure that you use your stumbling blocks as stepping stones. Failure is just an opportunity to try again, but the next time more experience. So those are the type of messages that somebody once told me, and it really helped me in my career, and I hope it can be some advice to some youngsters out there too.
I think that's a beautiful expression. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much, yeah.
And what was the best advice you were ever given?
The best advice I was ever given was that a small act of kindness can have an endless ripple effect. It basically is similar to the pay it forward concept, where if you have an opportunity to be kind to someone, ask them to repay it one day when they're in this position, and hopefully it can have an endless ripple effect and we can change the world for the better.
It reminds me of something I heard the other day when we were talking about laws of abundance. So, for instance, if we've got a piece of pie, that often there's this view that if we keep taking pieces out of the pie is going to get smaller. But if we can grow the pie, if we put it through in terms of acts of kindness or encouragement, in effect we're growing, so it's creating more of as opposed to less of and having to reduce the share. We can actually increase the amount that's on offer.
That's so amazing. I definitely agree.
And do you have a particular saying or motto that you live your life by?
My motto would be that my talent is God's gift to me, and what I do with it is my gift back to God. That's something that's really been one of my main mottos and things I try and live by. And I see that the area where I am today playing cricket, what I love, is because it's what my God-given talent, and just doing the best I can with it is what I want to give back to God.
And where would you say that you draw your inspiration from?
As mentioned before, I'm pretty religious, so I get all my inspiration from Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
And Mignon, we've spoken about the past, we've spoken about where you're at now. What's next? Where are you going to?
We actually just completed our full 5 weeks at the National Academy on Friday. We now got a little bit of a break where we have some active rest, and on the 18th of July at the High Performance Center in Pretoria, where we'll spend another 2 weeks preparing. And then on the 27th of July, we're flying out to Ireland for a series against them where we'll play T20s and 4 ODIs.
Okay, so all lots and lots of practice, and as we spoke earlier, there's nothing like practice to prepare you for the game.
Definitely.
We're unfortunately coming to the end of our conversation today. Can I please ask you, as we close if I can ask you to close the conversation today with a few words of inspiration which you'd like to pass on to other young women listening to us on the continent?
In any way of life, if you ever fail, don't see it as something that you can't get away from. It's just an opportunity to try again, but the next time you have a little bit more experience. And always, it's not about how hard you get knocked down. It's how hard you get back up and move forward. That's what it's all about. So those are the type of things. I know there's some movie cliches, but it's really made a difference in my life, and I do hope that it can inspire somebody else out there.
Thank you. I think that sharing those learnings are particular pearls of wisdom, because it's so easy to give in to a failure, one or two, but it's really important to stand up and bounce back and get back on the horse, to use the expression.
And as sports people, you really heard about a sports person that's always made it all the way to the top without any failures. I think there's more failures throughout your career, and it's just how you deal with those failures that set you apart and make that you are just not good, but that you are great.
And in a way, it's all about turning those failures into success.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on our show, and we wish you and the team the very best of luck when you go off to compete in Ireland.
Thank you very much, Dr. And thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to be on the show.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to Mignon Dupree, captain of the South African Ladies National Cricket Team, the Proteas.